Some people like A and others like B. At BMW, we prefer X. Like the dynamic X3, meant for ultimate exploration. The X5, built to conquer even the most difficult paths, or the pinnacle of comfort and luxury, the X7. And since every X-Range vehicle is packed with performance and versatility, you'll always get the best of X. The BMW X-Range. Your next X-Venture starts here.
Hurry into the BMW President's Day sales event and receive exceptional offers through March 2nd.
What's better than the speed and reliability of Fios home internet? Getting a $200 Verizon gift card on us when you switch to a Fios One Gig plan, which includes a 5-year price guarantee. So head to your local Verizon store at 4000 Jericho Turnpike for details on this limited time offer. Offer ends 2/19/25. Must maintain Fios service in good standing for 65 days and register for gift card per offer terms. One offer per eligible Verizon account. See store for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
As always, Chip's here on a Monday. Normally this time, but 2:07, Chip Scoggins from the Star Tribune on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Chipper, hello. I want to go back because you know the high school scene so extraordinarily well, and we both follow up the sports closely. And your paper just last week had run great rivalries in the state, and I believe Wayzata Hopkins basketball was included, both boys and girls. I attended the finest high school on planet Earth, Armstrong, but my kids attended Wayzata, so I saw plenty of Wayzata Hopkins games, and the animosity between those involved on the male side, on the female side. There was plenty of it. But last Thursday, Wayzata and Hopkins, as a lot of people know, are playing. And it was testy throughout the game. And then end of the game, Wayzata has the ball with, 5.9 seconds left, I think. They have it underneath their own hoop. They throw it to their big man, who shot right away. I didn't quite understand why he shot right away. Looks like it could have been a foul. Wasn't a foul. Things take place. The Wayzata coaches are furious about the non-call. The Hopkins coaches are screaming. They're screaming at each other. When the Wayzata players are trying to get to their locker room, the Hopkins students and other supporters are not letting them get to their locker room. They're screaming and yelling. It was embarrassing, Skip. Chip. It was embarrassing that took place. And I see that Wayzata ended up policing themselves and offering some suspensions and missing out on games, while Hopkins, to the shock of no one, did nothing. You've paid close attention to this for a long, long time. What was your read on what took place Saturday and what's been taking place in this rivalry and how Hopkins boys basketball has really become the boogeyman in the state the last 10, 15 years? Some of it fair, some of it unfair.
Yeah.
But none of that will change off what happened late last week.
Yeah, no, it's a great rivalry. I've covered a number of those games, and you're right, girls, too. I remember covering Paige Becker's her senior year when they played Wayzata. I think Mara Brahm was a sophomore, and that was a great environment. Yep. But what took place the other night, and I wasn't there, I saw the video that has floated around on social media.
Sure.
That showed the last sequence there, and talked to a few people who were there, and it sounded like, as you might imagine, the temperature was hot in that building. And not just talking about the degrees, but just the intensity and the kind of back and forth. It sounds like the adults needed to be more of adults, and it sounds like both coaching staffs were in the ears of the officiating. I know Ryan James, who does a good job with 247 Sports, and he went back and watched it. I watched his, I read his account. He didn't think the officiating was necessarily as bad as what I'd heard from some people, that it got out of control. Clearly, sounds like both coaches were just way over the top in their arguing with them. And then, but with all that said, you can't have students chasing off a team to the locker room. And no. It looks like one of the videos, there was a trash can thrown. I mean, that's just, you can't have that. I mean, if you're a school, you're responsible for crowd control. And the fact that that took place, I will say this, that situation could have ended up a lot worse than it did.
You could have.
That was,
you're right.
That was a powder keg. And when you have students coming out of the bleachers and following a team that just lost in an emotional way, felt like they didn't get a foul call there, that is a recipe for disaster. And when you're the home team, you have to be able to maintain your crowd control. And that was that did not happen in that situation. And they're lucky that didn't escalate into something much worse than it was.
This isn't new, and this has been going on for a while with Hopkins' success, with kids open and rolling, with Ken Novak's success, with Ken not exactly a shrinking violet, from a lot of people I pay attention to, a lot of people I talk to, and not taking Wisetta off the hook, let me be clear. The Wisetta coaches were part of this also. But there are just more people bugged by Ken Novak. Maybe some of it's jealousy. Maybe plenty of it's tied to the open enrollment. But from what you've heard and the way Ken Novak handled himself, what do you want to say about that, the longtime Hopkins coach?
Well, and Kenny's been – I mean, I've known Kenny for 25 years. I mean, he's been a lightning rod forever, right? I mean, and some of that is the open enrollment and kids that have come in there. Some of it is just because they're good and they've won championships. I remember covering the oh, gosh, I can't remember how long ago it was when they stalled in the state tournament. Do you remember that? Was that
that's right. Yes.
Early, was it like 2010 or 11? Or,
yeah,
I can't remember the year.
That's a ways ago, yeah.
But they had a great team, and then they stalled at the end of a state tournament game, and, you know, that got people going. And then there was the one year where they finished second, and guys took their medals off their neck as soon as they got them, and that created problems. So I think that program in general is going to be under the microscope, but I don't want to single out one coach, because I think both coaches, and I know Brian Snetler really well from Wisetta. I think he's a terrific coach too, and so I think it's a situation where probably the emotion got the best of both coaches. They weren't they got too ramped up. They were too much in the officiating's ear, and it kind of filtered out to the team and probably the stands too. Like I said, the temperature was hot in there, but you can't have that. The officiating needs to be better. It needs to have more control. And clearly, I assume they're going to meet again in the sections, you got to have more control. You can't have people coming out of the stands chasing the team into a locker room.
Yeah, I don't want to turn this into this happens all the time. This is every other school. But are most schools prepared in case it does get dicey, in case it does get tense from my attending those games over the years, they're not. And it's just numbers. And I want to emphasize again, this doesn't happen that much. But when it does, and when you have the history, should they have been more prepared, both schools?
Well, that's it. This is pretty unique. I can't remember, and I'm sure it's happened before. I don't say it's the first time it's ever happened. But, no, when you go to a game, it's not like it's fully staffed with a bunch of security guards. Typically, it's teachers. It's administrators that are there. I've seen it at other schools where if a student section is getting too rowdy or saying something inappropriate, you'll see a principal or an AD or somebody come down and say, okay, let's knock that off. So it's not like every school is going to have, you know, full security staff there in case something happens, because it's so rare when it does. But when you have a big game and you know it's going to be emotional and there's two great teams, that's where somebody need to come and you know, maybe do extra staff there. Maybe have more people there. Maybe you are more attentive to what's going on in the student section. And, you know, when they're spilling out onto the floor after the game and, you know, going with the team, that's where some adults have to rush over there and say, no, we're not doing that. Because, again, that could have escalated into a lot worse than it was.
Let's pause. Let's switch to the best sporting event taking place in North America the last five, 6 days. Four nations, they've moved from Montreal to Boston. Let's give you an update on that, including parts of it which were as good as it gets and others that just the stupidity. Hockey is such a compelling sport, but then you have just nonsense that should be called out. And I don't think people are right when they defend it. And a regular on this show is a part of it. I'll look forward to that conversation in a couple days. Chip Scoggins, right back with us on CCO.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You want to get the most for your money? Well, that's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Lease a new 2025 Mazda CX-50 all-wheel drive, only $239 a month, or buy and get 0.9 APR financing for 36 months. Start shopping now at RamseyMazda.com. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Call 833-853-2970 for details. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Zero security deposit. VIN number SN316458, MSRP 32295, ends 2/28/25.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This is how flying should be. That's what a Breeze guest recently said about Breeze Airways. Breeze flies nonstop to Sarasota, Bradenton, and more straight from Long Island MacArthur Airport. Breeze not only makes travel easy and affordable, but they offer flexible and friendly change policies, have high-speed Wi-Fi, and a premium first-class seat called Breeze Ascent. It's time you choose to fly Breeze. What are you waiting for? Book your flight today at flybreeze.com. Breeze Airways, seriously nice, in partnership with Visit Bradenton.
Let's continue the conversation with the tremendous sports columnist for the Star Tribune, Chip Scoggins, with us every Monday at this time. I've watched a lot of this, Chip, the Four Nations hockey. This is the tournament which has been taking place involving four countries, Canada, Sweden, the U.S., and Finland. Right now, Canada is rolling on Finland. So we're headed for a rematch. We are headed for U.S.-Canada Thursday in Boston for the championship. We had the first matchup between the two countries Saturday in a thrilling game where the skill, the speed, the intensity, the prowess at all ends. Great play, by the way, from Brock Faber, who was out there a lot. Boldy's been very good. So let's start with the skill and then get the nonsense. How much have you had a chance to see? And I know it's an exhibition in the sense of it's not the Olympic Games and it's not the Stanley Cup, but I saw a lot of people trying to compare it to the NBA and the All-Star Game. First of all, there was no comparison in the intensity.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you're representing your country and this type of hockey doesn't happen that often. It's going to be different. And as a viewer, if you have any curiosity with hockey, let alone if you love hockey, it's been incredible to me.
Yeah, I got home. I went to watch St. Thomas basketball Saturday night, but I got home to see the third period. And it's fabulous. The NHL struck gold here, man. I think the newness of it is a big part of it, but I just think when you ask players to wear their country's uniform, it ramps it up. You have natural intensity, pride, all the things that you want to see in these, I guess, exhibitions. So they have the ratings show that it's been thrilling to play.
Mm-hmm.
It was intense. Guys were hitting. How about the checks that you're seeing these things? Every shift, guys are giving it. And you're seeing great players, obviously. I mean, you're seeing really, you know, some of the best players on their team playing on the third or fourth lines or, the third D pair. And so it's the level of competition is fabulous. I know where you're going to go with the first part of it.
Yeah, go ahead. You chime in.
Can I be hypocritical?
Is that
okay? Sure. I normally hate stage fighting in hockey. It drives me crazy. I didn't grow up a hockey guy, right? So I don't understand the, at the opening faceoff, we're going to fight to get our team motivated. Like, you have to do that to, like, fire up the crowd and you fire your team to play a game that you're going to fight. I liked it this time. I thought it was cool. I thought it was great.
Really?
Normally, in an NHL game on a Tuesday in February, it drives me crazy when I see that. But again, maybe I'm a hypocrite, but I thought it was the moment of it with everything going on after the, I don't know if this didn't have anything to do with it because it's pre-planned between the U.S. guy, but booing the national anthem and then you see that, I don't know, maybe, I thought it was, I thought it added something to it.
I hated it because it's orchestrated, and if it's within the game itself, something happens, a hit or a cheap shot or whatever it might be, I get that's a part of hockey. But off a group chat and we're going to do something, I just don't like it. And I was reminded again, regular guest of this show, GM of the team, Billy Guerin, who's going to join us either Wednesday or Thursday. Oh, Thursday, the day of the game, the day of the championship.
Yeah.
He was involved in one of these fights decades ago when USA fought Canada. Now, the game was already going on. It wasn't, okay, I got you, and then one more, I got you. I just want to see it happen
organically
within the game
as
opposed to, this is how we're going to set the tone and tempo. Set the tone and tempo with the skill, the hard hitting, and what the game brings to you with the organic nature of the game.
I've always held that stance, and I've said the same thing. Like if in the course of the game, somebody takes a cheap shot on Kirill, and you're sticking up for him, and you're like, okay, we're not going to do that. I totally understand that. I don't like the drop the puck, and then now we're dropping the gloves and fighting because it seems silly to me. But maybe I was swept up into it. I know it's hypocritical saying it's two things, but I didn't mind it this time. I thought maybe it's because it's, international. You have two countries playing against each other, and U.S. has been dominated by Canada over the years, and that's their way of saying we're going to be here to fight type thing. I don't know what it was, but it didn't bug me this time in the way that it normally does if they're facing Edmonton. The Wild's facing Edmonton. It's weird, but it definitely put a charge into that game, and I thought, some of it was just the absurdity of it, right? Three fights in 9 seconds.
That's for me. It's the absurdity. Okay, let's finish with this because I want to get to this story. We're going to have to pause here, and I want to get to an update involved. Well, let me just say this. This has been going on the last 15 minutes or so. This is in Toronto. Dave, I'm sure you're seeing this too also, where the official account, Toronto Pearson, they're aware of an incident involving a Delta Airlines plane which has landed in Toronto, where emergency teams are responding. All passenger crew are accounted for. Dave, you're probably seeing it right now. This plane is upside down, right?
That's how it looks. Yeah.
Upside down. You don't have a high number of emergency vehicles around it. You have, in one of the shots, I can see a couple police/emergency vehicles. The rest just looks like normal airplane or airport equipment that they would have available in case something happened to a plane. So, again, this is a Delta flight from Minneapolis. Emergency teams responding. But this is the key part, Dave. All passengers and crew accounted for. So to me, that is telling us that everybody on this plane is okay. Is that your read from that tweet?
That's how I would understand it. I don't think they'd say accountable. And by the way, there's plenty of fatalities. Accountable or accounted for seems to indicate that, yes, they've confirmed all these people are still alive and made it through whatever happened.
Yeah, Chip, I don't know if you've had it. I don't know where you're at.
I haven't seen it. No, I'm in my house, not near a TV or computer. Is it on the runway?
It's on the runway. I'm clicking on various other sites right now where they showed the plane earlier when it is completely upside down. And they are using some type of technology to prevent or to stop any sort of fire that either may have been taking place or may be about to take place. So, yeah, it is a Delta plane. Dave, do you get a feel for how big this is? Isn't a typical large plane that would land in Toronto. I'm trying to get a feel for it by looking on TV and going to various websites I'm looking at. What are you saying? Maybe 20 rows? Does that seem about right?
It's probably about right. I mean, yeah, it's certainly not a jumbo jet, but, you know, from what I can see with the emergency vehicles that are there kind of blocking the shot, it's not small.
Yep. No, there are now, when they pan out a little bit, there are more emergency vehicles to TV screen left that are not immediately in the screen. And if there was any fear, Chip, for the safety of individuals on the plane itself, you would be seeing people moving with extraordinary speed, extraordinary pace. And I'm sure when this plane landed and it was upside down, some of that was taking place. But right now, there are a number of fire trucks or other vehicles that are gathered on the perimeter, but not specifically working on the plane right now, which tells you about the condition of the plane itself and who was on it. They're also re-racking some footage, too. Chip, do you have a chance to go into another room and see?
Yeah, well, my TV's not on, but I can go up to my computer. Yeah, hope the best for everybody. I don't think we've ever seen such a thing, right? Where it's on upside down.
I am trying.
In that position.
You know, you think about the timing of obviously what took place at Reagan and some other concerns we've had recently. But Dave, I think Chip is right. How often do you remember in a major city like Toronto, Ontario, where a Delta plane has stopped on the tarmac and is completely flipped upside down? And clearly, because it's been flipped upside down, there's been significant damage that has happened in this plane itself. Nothing for me comes to mind right away.
No, you certainly don't remember. I mean, if things happen when you see there's a incident on the tarmac, it's, a plane lands perhaps with one of the wheels that can't come down, all the way, or, they skidded off the runway or something like that. That certainly happened. But to see the plane upside down like that is,
oh my goodness,
surreal.
Yeah, I'm just
now,
tuning it out on TV.
Now I'm seeing further information on a tweet from Rebecca Jarvis, where she is saying this, breaking Delta's just a couple minutes ago, breaking Delta flight from Minneapolis to Toronto has an incident on landing, appears to have flipped upside down. There are several injuries, according to Peel Regional Police. The extent of the injuries, not immediately clear. Again, I'm just looking at words selected, Chip, where in the first one from this Toronto Pearson, all passengers and crew are accounted for.
Mm-hmm.
And then other reports saying several injuries. And injuries can mean a lot of different things, right? And I think they're choosing their words very carefully. Another airport official also saying all passengers and crew are accounted for. We just don't know what type of injuries we're talking about and to what severity.
Yeah, just looking at TV, that looks like one of those regional jets for sure.
Yep, it does. And this is from Minneapolis. So we're going to try to follow this as closely as we can and give you whatever concrete information we have and try to add to it. They are still using more equipment. We all three can see it in our different locations. It looks like more of a foam than just pure water, right, guys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That they're using to end any sort of flame that may have been going on before and also potentially preventing anything from taking off. But this sort of water pressure, this sort of foam pressure, whatever it might be, in no way would be taking place if the passengers were still on. And, Chip, I'm just considering the temperature up there. And
yeah,
the TV coverage, that may just be water, but the way the TV screen is seeing it, it almost gives us like a foam sort of feeling, because now the shot I'm seeing, it does look more like water. Doesn't it look that way to you, too?
Well, it looked like snow at first. I thought, you know, but it got collected snow is somehow, but it probably is foam that they're covering on, the belly side of it now.
Yeah, that is the underside of the plane that they're dealing with. So, yes, Toronto's Pearson Airport, a Delta plane from Minneapolis to Toronto flipped upside down. We don't know the numbers on the flight. We do know that the crew and the passengers are accounted for, and other reporting saying that there are injuries among those on the flight. But all this information is coming in very quickly. Chip, thanks for helping out. Obviously, we had to pivot to that quickly.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I hope.
Considering the news and
okay there. Yeah,
absolutely, and where it's taken off from, considering it's taken off here from the Twin Cities area. We're going to keep monitoring this. Chipper, thanks a lot, my man. We'll keep you up to date. All the information we have, and we'll try to reach out to anybody we can get on who has specific information, but it's happened so soon. The reports are limited at this point, but we'll monitor all the proper channels and provide that information to you right here at CCO. Multiple outlets reporting, Jason, that it's a Delta Airlines flight 4819 that I just listened into a couple different reports. The plane capacity might be around 70. I saw what you said earlier about 90, but just heard someone saying about 70.
Yeah, that's
the
certainly possible. So Endeavor Air, it's kind of, you know, and you were talking about before with Chip that it looked like a regional jet, and indeed it is.
Yep.
It's operated by Endeavor, which a lot of us, you know, you fly on Delta, yep, but it's really a different airline that runs it under the Delta flag. And they said a certain percentage of their of this particular jet has 70. Most have 90. So either way, 70 to 90 people on that. And you don't know how full it was, but.
Correct. Some of the most recent footage is just stunning.
I've never seen it.
It's coming from.
Amazing.
It's coming from someone. Here, let me just jump in here. It's coming from someone who has just walked off the plane, and you hear them talking to someone on the phone, explaining that we just landed, our plane is upside down. Okay, the plane is upside down on tarmac. Jason, as other people are being helped off the plane, and they're walking, yes, with a little bit of speed, but not fear for their lives, it doesn't appear, as they're walking. They're showing it again and seeing they're just walking off the plane unconventionally, getting out of the plane because, again, this plane is upside down on the tarmac.
And it's hard to tell from this, and I assume they're showing the same video that I just shared a little bit ago on Twitter, but you see the landing gear at the nose at the front of the plane up, but
yep.
I don't see any landing gear.
I don't see in the back.
In the back. Mm-hmm. So perhaps that is what happened here, right? You can envision a scenario where a pilot can't get the landing gear down. The front landing gear hits a snow-covered, snowy Toronto runway, and somehow it either rolls. I would assume it ended rolled, or imagine if it went. It certainly would have been more damage if it, you know, if the nose hit and it flipped kind of front to back, right?
Well, that can I believe that scenario? Yes. There's a lot of things that it could be.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the landing gear collapsed, right? I mean, there's also things that happen, but I don't remember the last time at any airport with a plane of this size, with 70 people,
yeah,
90 people, whatever the capacity might be, where, Jason, on the tarmac itself, a plane is upside down. There are probably stories of very small airports, small planes, that sometimes the main outlets report on. But this is a regional jet from Minneapolis to Toronto's Pearson Airport, where it is right now residing on the runway, upside down. Some reports, I know you retweeted it. I've just been on air, so I haven't had a chance to jump on Twitter as far as retweets, but consuming information where Rebecca Jarvis, a Minneapolis native herself, is reporting several injuries. The footage that you retweeted and a bit of what I saw, I didn't see anyone getting any aid as they were coming off the plane. That's how the whole thing's atypical, right?
Sure.
But that's how atypical it is that this plane is upside down and people are walking out and they've got their carry-on bag. They're walking out as if, okay, we had time to get all of our stuff.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, and ABC News was reporting that the police in that area said there was one perhaps critical injury and then seven other injuries. And that was a report from ABCnews.com. Critical with non-life threatening was one person for the regional police out there and seven people with moderate to mild injuries, which is remarkable, right? I mean, yeah, let's be real, right, at what we're looking,
yes,
at here. This is literally a plane that's flipped over,
yeah,
on the runway. Now, the plane itself, again, the damage, it doesn't appear to have the sort of damage you would think. And so maybe, you know, and we're certainly going to get reports from the people who are on that plane. And if you know, right, anybody, we want to hear from them at CCO,
yeah,
Radio.
Love to,
right,
hear.
651-461-9226. Our newsroom would love to hear those stories. But just
forget the newsroom. The on-air hosts would love to hear those stories. Okay, let's call right into 651-461-9226. You know, there are markings on the plane where we could say that flames maybe are on the side of the plane also. But
yeah,
clearly, whether it was a combination of water or whatever retardant they wanted to use to slow flames down or to prevent further flames on the part of the plane, the underside of the plane, which is now facing up, those were used for some extensive amount of time. And by the time some of this other footage was available to the networks, Jason, a lot of those emergency conventional fire trucks are now off to the side, you know, allowing other people to do the work they're doing at this moment.
Now, according to Flight Tracker, this plane did leave Minneapolis, gate A2, and it left late. It left an hour late. I'm just presuming based on the weather, right? But that,
sure,
it was a
makes
weather
sense
delay.
Although,
hour,
makes
minutes
sense, but again, something
we don't know.
Right?
We don't know. Could be mechanical or who knows why. Could have been the inbound plane, right? Like that often,
yep,
is how a,
sure,
regional. But Toronto Pearson Airport has obviously now they are holding inbound flights because of what's going on there right now, that you have a plane on its head or on its top or however you want to describe it. But it left at about 11:30 this morning. So if someone you know was on a flight that was supposed to leave around 10:30 today, that would be the flight that you know, you look at. It is, a lot of us use Flight Aware or Flight Tracker to keep track of our family
Correct.
Members.
Yep.
And it is strange to see, you know, landed an hour and 33 minutes ago. It says it is marked as landing at 2:13 Eastern time. But you're talking about an hour and a half ago that it landed. And then, of course, now we know what happened when it did hit the runway.
From a texter, I'm in the fire protection industry. The foam used to put out jet fuel can be hazardous material, so EMS may be staying back to prevent exposure, right? That sure. does make sense,
yep.
right? That's a logical conclusion. Let's
you know,
do this.
The other
Let's
reality,
pause.
Chad, is think about ahead. Air travel right now, right? I mean, after so long where you hear nothing, and it's
nothing.
Probably coincidence, but it sure is unnerving, isn't it?
That's right on. They're most likely completely unrelated. But with what happened at Reagan, let's not forget the Alaska flight where 10 were killed and questions on that. Now this, you can logically, factually point out the stark differences and the non-connection to all three flights. But Jason,
sure.
you nailed it. When North America has had such a long run without fatalities and the overwhelming amount of safety, unnerving is the perfect word for people who may be flyers where they have concern, maybe overreact, you might say, but that's honestly how they feel. There will be people who look at this and their concerns will be raised, and hopefully as we get more facts, that will allay those concerns, but there are all sorts of questions still to be asked and answered about this because, as Jason pointed out, this just landed only 90 minutes ago. Back with more at 2:48 on WCCO. A reminder where we are at. A flight from Minneapolis to Toronto, specifically to Toronto's Pearson Airport, somehow in the process of landing, ended up upside down. It is a plane where Endeavor has multiple planes, but we believe this plane at least had a capacity of 70 people. As multiple outlets have reported in the last 30 to 45 minutes, everyone is accounted for, all the passengers and the flight crew. 8 injured, 1 viewed as critical, 7 mild to moderate. You do see Jason, because Jason's here with us, snow all throughout the area, reports of significant winds. This is a jet that I think a lot of people are familiar with. There are regional jets that, as you said earlier, and you're right on, flying under the auspices of a Delta, a United, an American. This is very common practice. At one point, I'm sure as quickly as possible, we do not have that footage yet, but a lot is coming in through cameras at the Toronto airport and Twitter footage, Jason, that foam was used quickly to try to put out whatever flames were taking place or prevent further flames. Part of what is still startling about a story that is absolutely stunning is the amount of people who were just on their own walking out of the plane and felt they had enough time to grab a carry-on and someone on a phone looking back at the plane and explaining to someone, Jason, as he's what, about 30 to 40 feet from the plane.
Right.
This just does not happen.
No, I mean, everything about it is astonishing, right? And the calmness of people walking away, I guess, what would you expect them to be doing, I guess? You know, you're not going to be probably in any...
Well, I guess it tells you the condition of the plane at that point.
If
they were worried something dramatic...
That's right.
...was about to change with the plane, the flames, or anything else, you wouldn't be saying, hold on, Jason, we're flying together. I have to grab my carry-on. Under other scenarios that could have been more perilous, it would be you need to get off the plane right now and making that point instantly as opposed to grabbing your overhead compartment.
Yeah, and the Flight Attendants Association told CBS News that, again, reports are there are no fatalities, but it is a remarkable sight to see on this, you know, and so many Minnesotans do business in Canada and fly to Toronto. Yep. It's a busy destination, but, obviously, snowy conditions on an airport are something that we are very used to here in the Twin Cities.
Yes.
And they are in Toronto, too, right?
Yep.
So to have this happen is, and again, so many questions as to why, but just crazy. It's crazy to see.
It shows how, it's a reminder to us how safety and flights that we've taken for granted for so long because of the overwhelming track record that has taken place all across the globe, including our country and including Canada. And I'm already getting the texts blaming Donald Trump and the administration. Neither one of us has ever been shy in offering our opinions, what is legit, what is not legit. Here's how much information we have tying this back to the Trump administration. I'm done. We have nothing. Okay? If it turns out there is a point where there's justifiable criticism towards the Canadian government or the United States government, we will go there. There is absolutely nothing at this point that would provide a direct link to that. So while there is some level of two individuals who fly and people texting and providing a little bit of context, neither one of us has any interest at this point to start pointing fingers at a government entity in the U.S. or Canada when we have no proof to any of that at this point is tied to this crash.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody wants to make their cheap shot, I suppose, but it's a bit of a luxury to be able to do that, knowing that no one was killed in a really scary situation.
Yeah, and let's be honest, a number of people would have provided the cheap shot, even if people were killed. And I'm not saying that concrete facts may not come out and raise questions, but none of those on that area are out at this point. Jason's going to take you home and give you all sorts of information on this story all throughout the afternoon.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.